This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at FullyCookedBacon.com. That's FullyCookedBacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey.
A reaction from the Department of Justice on this setback, a major legal setback to President Trump's travel ban. Let me read the statement from the Department of Justice. President Trump's executive order is well within his lawful authority to keep the nation safe. The Department of Justice strongly disagrees with the decision of the divided court, which blocks the president's efforts to strengthen the country. National security. As the dissenting judges explained, the executive order is a constitutional exercise of the president's duty to protect our communities from terrorism. The president is not required to admit people from countries that sponsor or shelter terrorism until he determines that they can be properly vetted and do not pose a security risk to the United States. Here's the last sentence. This Department of Justice will continue to vigorously defend the power and duty of the executive branch to protect the people of this country from danger and will seek review of this case in the United States Supreme Court. Laura Jarrett, looks like it's going to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, not a surprise.
I mean, this is amazing. You know, I love, what am I missing here, Scott? I mean, to hear Wolf Blitzer, a setback. I mean, a setback for who? A setback for the people who expect our government to protect ourselves. And, you know, and as we've been saying, I'm going to be curious to see if the court takes into consideration what President Trump said in Riyadh with the 50 Muslim leaders. I mean, if they're going to listen to what he said on the campaign trail as a candidate, as a nominee, now that he's president of the United States, does that change your opinion? Does that change the court's opinion of Donald Trump and the language that he used now that he's the president of the United States? Or do we still hold on to, oh, this is what he said on the campaign trail, that it is a Muslim ban, not a travel ban? I mean, and you can't even present any kind of a similar logic that was used in the previous administration. That doesn't make sense. It's just Donald Trump being mean-spirited. And their, you know, their hatred towards Donald Trump, everything, anything that, you know, comes close to it. And so here we are. We reject reason and logic because we're so filled with hatred and disdain for the president of the United States. And at what cost? At what cost? He is the leader of this country, like it or not. And if you are not going to follow him, there are some immutable laws that come into play here that you're ignoring. You know, Pastor Phil, we were just talking with, you know, touched on these a little bit here. But if you don't have a spiritual discernment, you don't understand the spiritual consequences which are manifest there in the temporal world, in our world, which most people understand, even the secular world, because they are immutable. What happens when you do not follow the leader? You pay a big price. And this is a government that was established of, for, and by we the people. And this is, even we the people are out of order because we are not in our rightful position doing the kinds of things that we the people are supposed to do to uphold the integrity of the Constitution and everything that's involved, which ensures our liberty. But if we're going to be disengaged from that document and from those principles, you have the 21st century America that we live in today, where at every turn we're losing freedom. We've lost control of this government. Everybody says the government is in chaos. Well, whose fault is that? Can't blame the media on that. Yes, there's no question that they're part and parcel, but they are not the main reason. Are they tainting things? Are they influencing perspective? No doubt about it. But it's up to us. This is where self-responsibility is so critical. If we're not going to be self-responsible, then we might as well all be socialists. We might as well all just, you know, tuck it under and go along to get along and forget about this dream of Camelot and the United States of America. I'm Bill Martinez. It's 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Israel has built one of the world's great civilizations, a strong, resilient, determined, and prosperous nation. It is also a nation forged in the commitment that we will never allow the horrors and atrocities of the last century to be repeated. Now we must work together to build a future where the nations of the region are at peace and all of our children can grow and grow up strong and grow up free from terrorism and violence. During my travels in recent days, I have found new reasons for hope. I have just concluded a visit to Saudi Arabia, where yesterday I met with King Salman and with the leaders from across the Muslim and Arab world. In that visit, we reached historic agreements to pursue greater and greater cooperation in the fight against terrorism and its evil ideology. My future travels will take me to visit Pope Francis at the Vatican and then our NATO and European allies. We have before us a rare opportunity to bring security and stability and peace to this region and to its people, defeating terrorism and creating a future of harmony, prosperity, and peace. But we can only get there working together. There is no other way. Mr. President, Mr. Prime Minister, I look forward to working closely with both of you during my stay. We love Israel. We respect Israel. And I send your people the warmest greetings from your friend and ally, all of the people in the United States of America. We are with you. Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you.
And Donald Trump reaffirming our relationship with Israel upon his visit there. And, of course, you know there has to be some controversy regardless. And, you know, we mentioned that previously that, you know, during the campaign that candidate Trump had said that he saw a time when, you know, the capital, that the United States would acknowledge Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And, of course, with that comes all kinds of controversy, especially in light of what the Palestinians are trying to negotiate. And, you know, and the thing is, there is such contention about everything that's Israel. And and what is Palestine, and, you know, and we can get into that. In fact, a little bit later on, we're going to be talking with, you know, Dr. William Grady, who has done just an incredible amount of research. We'll take us back in the history of Israel and the holy ground that it is in his new book titled Holy Ground. And so he'll be on a little bit later, and maybe you'll have a little bit more understanding about the importance of the history of Jerusalem and why this conflict continues between Palestine and Israel. But along the way, of course, as you say, you know, the media is going to do everything they can to trip up this president. This trip is going so well. And for the most part, I got to say, the media has done a fairly good job in reporting the facts on this. And I think it's just so obvious. I think, you know, the president's and the team is doing just so well and doing such a solid job. They're hard pressed to come up with controversy. But of course, here it is. Let's, you know, stick a little stick in somebody's eye here regarding the Western Wall. And I was glad to hear U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley clear up the matter. And this is what she said, and I quote, "I believe the Western Wall is part of Israel. I think that is how we always have seen it and how we should pursue this." Haley made these comments on CBN that we've always thought the Western Wall was part of Israel. It has been, like I said, a very positive trip so far. And, you know, obviously Israel is embracing Donald Trump. But again, I look at the contrast. It is amazing to me. And I don't know if you're seeing it the way I am in terms of how this president is being embraced and received, in this case, Saudi Arabia, and now in Israel, versus the previous administration. And I know maybe some of you might go, well, of course, you know, look at, you know, what the Donald Trump administration means to both these parties, to the Arab world. I mean, for the president to talk to 50 Arab nations, to be able to talk to them, wow, and the way in which he did and what he was able to communicate to them. Certainly, it was in their interest. They see it in their interest that, you know, they've got to combat ISIS as well, that they have to take a stand. And there's been individual standings and instances, but not a concerted effort. And I believe this is going to go a long way in joining the Arab nations to come against ISIS in a big way, and perhaps one of the biggest, and I mean, this is huge, one of the biggest promises that President Trump, then candidate Trump, made, if you remember, was to eradicate ISIS. And this will go a long way to that end. And and then, you know, there's also that controversy John McCain brought up about human rights violations and, you know, what kind of stand, you know, was the president taking on human rights? Well, you know, if you're friends with somebody and you have a relationship with them, then you can begin to address these long-standing cultural issues and the treatment of people. But, you know, coming right out the bat, I think, you know, this is all part of diplomacy. You know, it's obvious, and, you know, the Arabs know that the way they treat women is a problem for those of us in the West. And they understand it. And we don't necessarily, you know, and I like how Donald Trump said, hey, we're not here to, you know, to preach to you or lecture you and tell you how you should live. That was his kind of way of addressing that. But it's a little bit easier, I believe, to, you know, have that conversation with somebody when you're friends with them and you have a relationship. You know, John McCain cited Ronald Reagan. Well, Ronald Reagan just didn't come out of nowhere to make the statements to tell Gorbachev to tear the wall down. There had been some relationship. There had been some things set into motion to where, you know, it was in a sense, it was a game of chess. And Gorbachev was checkmated. And Ronald Reagan was at that point where he could call the question and say, look, let's tear this wall down. But it didn't come out of nowhere. It took some time. So I think that here we have, you know, President Donald Trump, not even 120 days, and people are expecting him to wave a wand and, oh, yeah, by the way, we've got all this controversy and all this anchor dragging that he has behind him. Thank you very much, the mainstream media and the establishment that's so upset because of what Donald Trump is shaking up. But there's a whole lot of shaking been going on, and something tells me it's just beginning. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 15 minutes after.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Do you use Viagra or Cialis? Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $2 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for Viagra, you're being taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $2. We'll do the math for you. You save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 45 blue pills or 45 yellow pills for $99 and add 5 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call us at 800-590-4987 and get your 50 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for Viagra. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in an unmarked package. Call us right now. 800-590-4987. That's 800-590-4987. 800-590-4987.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Letting you know about it before the defecation hits the oscillation. Bill Martinez, live.
A time that to be a Republican in this area of the country felt a bit like being Gary Cooper in High Noon, outnumbered in a big way. But I remember the story of a fellow who was running for office as a Republican, and he was in a rural area and it wasn't known to be Republican, and he stopped by a farm to do some campaigning. And when the farmer heard he was a Republican, his jaw dropped and he said, "Wait right here till I go get Ma. She's never seen a Republican before." So he got her, and the candidate looked around for a podium from which to give his speech, and the only thing he could find was a pile of that stuff that Bess Truman took 35 years trying to get Harry to call fertilizer. So he got up on the mound, and when they came back, he gave his speech. And at the end of it, the farmer said, "That's the first time I ever heard a Republican speech." And the candidate said, "That's the first time I've ever given a Republican speech from a Democratic platform."
Thank God for Ronald Reagan. I mean, if nothing else, just to remember, you know, he was no doubt a man for the time and gifted, you know, and he will always be, it seems, the standard bearer of the Republican Party in the comparative, don't you think, Scott? I mean,
well, I think what that clip really shows is that we've been through this before. We've done this before, where being a Republican was somehow a bad word, synonymous, you know, at times with racism and all this, and it just shows that there was a point in time where we were fighting the same uphill battle. Mm-hmm. And we got to remember that we are the majority party at the moment.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that Reagan found through experience. I mean, he was a Democrat himself before he became a Republican, and understood in terms of his agenda and his own life and preferences, as you've heard me say before. You know, life defines, and life and experience defines preference. And for Ronald Reagan, conservatism came out loud and clear. It wasn't something he always embraced. But when he saw the party is starting to go in their you know, different directions, it became obvious that the Republican Party was a better home for him and a better fit. You know, issues of life and self-responsibility were found more in the Republican Party than in the Democratic Party. The Democrats say, look, at you know, they have a lot of compassion, and as we've been talking about, the difference between compassion and justice. Well, you know, once you begin to go down that road of compassion, you always do it at somebody's expense. Now, I guess compassion might be considered the original populist message, but it's very dangerous when you think you're going to take from someone and give to the other. And that's, you know, whether it was the Obama administration or anything that came out of socialist Democrats, it's that idea, but it's all a ruse, because there's never enough money to be compassionate to everybody. It's always going to be at somebody's expense. And so let's take the hard work and the earnings of someone who has, you know, gotten up every morning and done the right thing and earned money for their family. And let's take it away from them and give it to somebody who is less fortunate by circumstances, probably in too many cases, less fortunate by their own doing. And I know that some people might sit there and say, well, wait a minute, you know, I was born into this. Well, we hear the stories time and again, you know, like Dr. Ben Carson, who was born into a situation that there was no way that he was supposed to have been successful. Nick Sanchez, he was part of the Pedro Pan, the Peter Pan dynamic out of Cuba. I mean, he's, what, 13 years old? He tells me he's got 10 cents in his pocket, he and his brother. And here they come. They came to America without, it was a refugee. You talk about a refugee program, some 3,000 kids were sent here, no parents, no family. They were just sent here like orphans. And here Nick and his brother had to pick themselves up, went on, became educated. He is, of course, a professor emeritus out of Massachusetts. Just an incredible man, incredible success story. And this is America. These are the opportunities that are still there, but the government wants to get in the way, and for quite a while, because of all the regulations. And in a sense, it was kind of a soft peddling of socialism. you know, that people were going to be brought into some sort of comradeship and some sort of constituency to have their efforts, you know, put into the general good pile, and as if taxes and everything else was not enough. But it was a slow choking process. And look what's happened here briefly, just in the brief time that President Trump has been in office and lifting these regulations that, you know, took off these choke lines and these handcuffs on American entrepreneurs and would-be entrepreneurs who are coming in from other countries. It's just been fantastic. You know, what do you say, Scott?
Well, this is actually one thing that I think when people, they hear trickle down and they start talking about the, you know, your big companies. First off, your big companies is a house that's already built. Those gutters are already set. Where things trickle down for them, it's already a set path. It's already in place. What you need to do, though, is get guys like a Bill Martinez or a Scott to take that chance to start our own business, because then we're I always, you know, equate it to building a house. We're building a house, and then we get to start trickling down. We get to decide where the money goes, and we open up new avenues and things like that. And that seems to be what's happening right now. There seems to be more. We've talked to numerous people that said, you know, small businesses are starting to happen again. Right. And I think that's the key. I think that's the key for everything. I think creating a larger middle class is exactly what we need.
And what people have to be careful of is kind of what Stephen Clifford, if you remember in his book CEO Pay Machine, what he wrote about is not to get skeptical because you're seeing how CEOs are capturing so much money. The marketplace has to resolve this issue. I mean, it is no question whatsoever. And I have a big issue with that, with CEOs being paid. It used to be 10 times, now 35, 40 times more than, you know, the labor force out there. And that's something that the labor force itself, the culture, needs to vacate. And also stockholders. Stockholders need to be conscious of this. I am hard-pressed. I got to tell you, I'm hard-pressed for these CEOs to be paid this kind of money. Nobody, I don't know of anybody being worth 35 times, especially when companies don't dramatically improve by 35 times. You know, they seem to get that money because that's what's negotiated, and because of this new process that has come about in terms of CEO pay. You know, you talk about headhunters for, you know, the everyday person. Well, CEOs, it's a whole nother ball game altogether, and they've been able to you know, kind of set the standard for the payment, and it has gotten way out of whack. So Stephen Clifford's book on that issue, I understand, and I understand why the everyman, the forgotten man, Main Street America, can look at this and go, whoa, what is wrong with this? And then with the reality of the numbers, I mean, they knew CEOs were getting paid better, flying around in these jets and, you know, the clothes they wear. They know they're getting paid, but I'm sure that many people did not realize that they're being paid at the rate that they are today. I mean, it's, but you look at that and you can get absolutely cynical and think that's the way it is. And so why should I work? Why should I compete? Well, you compete because, that is the right thing to do. And that's what makes you happy. You know, for people who are non-productive, people who are not doing what it is that their talents and giftings have called them to do, are very frustrated and very unhappy people. Whether they're in the workforce or just waiting to get a job, but you can't wait to get a job. You know, like my old pastor friend, Ken Spark, says that, you know, you have 40 hours a week to give. 40 hours a week. You either have a job or you have 40 hours looking for a job. I like that. That makes a lot of sense to me, and that's my encouragement to you. Thank you so much for being with us. The conversation continues here with Bill Martinez Live. Bruce Thatcher, yes, history speaks. My favorite immigration consultant who wrote a great book on immigration has a new book to talk about. He's coming up next right here. It's 29 minutes after the top of the hour.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Listening to Bill Martinez live.
And when I die, and when I'm gone, there'll be one child born in this world. Carry on, carry on. I chose you for the one. Now we're having so much fun. You treated me so kind. I'm about to lose.
Welcome back, America. As always, great to have you along with us. I'm Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com or drop us an email, Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. And they've been waiting for this. I mentioned it yesterday that David Gellis is going to be with us. Blood, Sweat, and Tears. You remember all that great music? And When I Die, Spinning Wheel, You Made Me So Very Happy, all that great music. Well, he was the lead guitarist of Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And he's going to be sharing his story and reveal how hearing loss has affected his life. And Eric Banda, who is an audiologist, is with us as well to give us the facts to make sure that we're not throwing out any fake news there, because we don't have any fake news, especially when we're talking about hearing, because May is Better Speech and Hearing Month. You know, along with the dog days of summer come the common sounds of the season, outdoor rock concerts, festivals, and sporting events. You can throw in a pair of earbuds, and over time, studies show that the noises of today can be a recipe for hearing damage. According to the Centers for Disease Control, 40 million American adults have lost some of their hearing because of noise. Half of them suffered damage from everyday exposure to leaf blowers, sirens, rock concerts, and other loud sounds. Can you imagine? Just little things like that are around us every day that can be doing some damage to our ears. David Gellis, welcome to Bill Martinez and Dr. Eric Banda. Good to have you both with us. How are you doing?
Good morning, Bill. Good morning.
Hey, David, let me ask you first, how has hearing loss affected your life?
Well, as you said, Bill, you know, I'm a baby boomer, born in the early 50s, and grew up at a time with the kind of the dawn of loud rock music, and before I did it professionally, I was subjecting myself to some pretty healthy decibel levels, and then subsequent to that, a lifetime of playing in rock bands, there has been a consequence, absolutely, and not to state the obvious, but I find myself, or I had found myself before I got some help for this, saying what? Quite a bit. And not just frequently, but repeatedly, over and over. And there came a point that a time where I just realized that people are getting this and I'm not getting it. My TV was way louder than it probably needed to be. And maybe for me, personally, more importantly, because I'm a musician, music began to sound very dull. And there came a point I knew something was wrong.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, you're used to hitting certain notes and hearing them as crisp as they were, and suddenly they're a bit muted. That had to be increasingly disconcerting for you.
Absolutely. It seemed at a certain point that the treble controls weren't working on my stereos. Even I'd go to my car or in the house, and it was the same problem everywhere. I could turn them up, turn them down. I could not hear the difference. And certain sounds like tambourines and cymbals and sibilant vocal sounds like the letter S, I couldn't get them anymore, and I didn't know what to do, and it dawned on me at a certain point, I should go get my hearing tested.
Exactly. Well, Dr. Banda, let's talk about some of the factors that cause hearing loss.
Yeah, there are actually many things that can contribute or cause hearing loss, different health conditions, things like injury as well. But two of the most common ones are going to be age-related hearing loss, so just as we get older, having a decline in our hearing with age, and as talked about already, exposure to loud sounds and loud noises. And it's these two, the aging and the loud noises. What starts to be noticed with hearing loss is not that everything's getting quiet. Some sounds are there, but some of those other sounds that are important for intelligibility, those high-frequency sounds like the S's and T's, those start to get a little softer. So what's happening is you start to hear people talk like they're mumbling more and not sounding as articulate, and that's usually a cue that there's something starting to happen with the hearing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, David, you know, for you, what did you decide to do to solve this problem?
Well, you know, this is a gradual process, so you don't notice it overnight. But when I finally went and had a hearing exam, the doctor said, he said, "Do you work in a machine shop?" And I kind of laughed at myself because in a way I do, but, you know, the forces are the same, but the source is different. But when I got some help for this and got some hearing aids, all of a sudden I can hear the television set. Environmental sounds like, you know, birds chirping and just the environment around you, the sound of running water. Wow. It reminded me, I used to hear this stuff. And now I got it back again, and it came back overnight in a second when I put these things in. I honestly could hardly believe it. It reminded me of when I first put on a pair of glasses when I was about 13, and my vision had deteriorated enough so that it was like a bang moment. Wow, holy moly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think of, and you would remember this, remember Neil Diamond's Beautiful Noise, right?
Yeah. The double-edged sword.
Yeah, exactly. And that that must have been amazing for you, as you say. Suddenly, it was like the layers were pulled back.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Dr. Banda, you know, we hear about tinnitus these days. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so tinnitus or tinnitus, both pronunciations are okay. Mm-hmm. And that's when somebody hears typically a ringing in their ears. And it's not something caused by an external sound, but it's actually an internally generated sound. It can be a ringing or a buzzing or a multitude of other perceptions of the sound. And it can be very acute, so it's very quick, on and off, or it might be there for some people lasting a long time. Often associated with different medications or foods, different health conditions, or exposure to loud sounds.
Well, Dr. Banner, we're going to stay with you for this question, too, because this is relates to that. How about some tips on how to prevent tinnitus and hearing loss?
So many of these things are not so easy to prevent. Aging, can't really prevent that. Different injuries and such, we can't always prevent. But the exposure to loud sounds is something that we can easily take control of. Hearing protection, hearing protection, hearing protection. If you go with kind of the rule of thumb that if, you know, I have to shout to be heard, it's probably too loud, and that's when you should consider some type of hearing protection, earplugs, earphones to cover your ears, just to protect against those sounds.
Well, David, what advice would you give people who are dealing with newly diagnosed hearing loss?
Well, I would say this. Don't ignore this. I know that some people may feel that there's a stigma to needing an assistive device, yet nobody seems to feel that way about glasses, so I would say that this will have an impact on your personal and professional life that you may not anticipate. It puts you back in the game. It gives you things that you've been missing for years and will remind you of what you used to have. You'll experience, you know, like a, if you smell or taste something that the last time you had that experience was when you were a kid, it brings back a sensory perception that is hard to describe. In summation, I would just say it puts you back on top of your game. You would never look back.
Well, Dave, I know our audience wants to hear an update as to what's been going on with you musically. What are you up to now that you got your hearing back?
Well, I'm working. I go out on the road with the band from time to time when they need me. I do not do it day to day anymore. But I work locally and pursuing things at home that I waited a long time to get to.
Well, great. Well, congratulations. I'm glad your hearing is back, and we wish you only the best. Dr. Brent, as we wrap this up, let's talk about some of the technology advances and where our listeners can go for more information.
There's a lot of things we've been doing to improve with hearing technology. Key things we look at are audibility and comfort in listening. So audibility, trying to help those sounds that we're losing, make them more audible for intelligibility in quiet situations, as well as noise. Background noise is a distractor, so we actually have technology that can help someone with different degrees of hearing loss and different noise hear better than someone with normal hearing. And then we want to take some of the effort and challenge away from listening, so we have algorithms to make it more comfortable to listen. And then cosmetically, always trying to make them smaller and more discreet, looking at things like usability, being able to recharge hearing aids, and also wireless connectivity. You can find out more about these technologies at signiausa.com.
Well, Dr. Branda, an audiologist, director of product management for Savantos, Inc., specializes in bringing new product innovations to the market. Dr. Eric Branda, thank you so much for being with us. And Dave Gellis, who's been playing lead guitar for Blood, Sweat, and Tears since 1985. Many of the hit songs I've played over the years for millions of people across this country. And during several hiatuses, toured and or recorded with Meatloaf, Stanley Clark, Chuck Nigg, Rona, Three Dog Night, Phoebe Stowe, and many others. Guys, thank you so much for being with us. Great stuff. Great information.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here.
You went to the Western Wall, and you're the first acting president who's done that. The people of Israel applaud you for it. I want to thank you especially today for your deep commitment to Israel's security, its well-being, and its future. I have no doubt that as we work together, you and I, the alliance between our countries will grow ever stronger.
Bill Martinez, live.
9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America. I am Bill Martinez. Of course, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu with his comments with President Trump there in Israel during this international trip. Of course, the president will be in Sicily through tomorrow and then heads back to the United States after what many of us agree was a rather successful trip and favorable representation of this country and our values. So we'll see if the president will do the next thing that many of us are waiting for, and that is will he move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem? Stay tuned for details. Dr. Andrew Ramirez is with us right now, Executive Director of the Faith and Education Coalition for the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Coalition, America's largest Hispanic Christian evangelical organization. Dr. Ramirez, good to have you with us. How are you doing?
Thanks, Bill. Glad to be with you.
Well, what we want to talk about is, you know, whether or not Christians should abandon public education. This has been something that has been long queried since Christians really got behind the homeschooling movement. Private schools have been flourishing within the Christian community because of the lack of, how do we want to put it, the lack of service and adherence to Christian values, through the public education system.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm an advocate for all forms of education. I myself am a product of both public and private. My brothers were homeschooled. My husband and I served as a founding family of a public charter school, and we blend homeschooling into our daughter's schooling experience now. So I think that at the end of the day, for evangelicals, we need to look at what Scripture says, and as Christ followers, we see that We're called to love our neighbors as ourselves, so a mass exodus would be irresponsible. That doesn't negate the different schooling options. I think all of those options are valid mm-hmm. and should be supported, and that it's the parents' right to determine what their child, what's best for their child. But as we consider the our engagement to abandon completely. So I think that there is an ideology that says if I homeschool or if I am placing my child in a private school, then I must divorce myself from my local public school. And that doesn't have to be the case. In fact, homeschoolers have some additional flexibility that would allow them to serve their local public schools in a different capacity. So it doesn't have to be one or the other. It can actually be and both.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you from my experience, just to give you an idea, Andrew, how old school I am. I mean, you talk about charter schools and Christian schools. I was taught by nuns. I was very fortunate to be taught by nuns back in the days when there were enough around. And, of course, in those days, it was not unusual to have like 50, 60 kids per classroom because I guess the nuns knew how to use the fear of God in those classrooms, you know, to make sure you paid attention. I mean, forget about this study of boys. You know, they could only sit still for about 6 minutes, you know, per hour. No, it doesn't. Hey, I got something for that, buddy. You better sit still. It worked out very effectively. But the bottom line of all this, Dr. Ramirez, is that we want to make sure education is effective. I mean, look at the numbers, the statistics right now overall, where America sits with all the money that we pour into public education. Are we getting the return on investment? This is what Betsy DeVos, this is what the president is calling into question right now. And I think it's a question that many people who have put their kids through the public school system and have said, wow, you know, my child is, I remember when I went through school, I was much further along than the kids. I mean, they may talk about some of these complicated issues, but they're just not operating at a parity level comparatively.
Sure, yeah. And the reality is that of our 55 million children that are in America, over 90% are in public schools. So I think we're all facing the same crisis that our public school systems need to be strengthened, but to have this mass exodus of Christians to pull away completely and to isolate rather than to be what scripture tells us to be in the world, not of it,
exactly.
To be engaged. When we look at Jesus's examples and as evangelicals, we are Christ followers. I love what Pastor Brian Lightsey of Life Church in Leander says. He says when Jesus, his example shows us that when Jesus retreated, it was for the purpose of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
I think we should follow suit. If we retreat for any amount of time, it should be to engage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see examples of families perhaps looking at year by year, looking to see, are we going to pull back second and third grade and homeschool and then reengage in fifth and sixth grade. There are a lot of different ways to handle that problem, that strategy of hitting that overall problem. But the bottom line is our public schools need to be strengthened.
Exactly.
And I think that as we think about our responsibility to that, the option of completely withdrawing it doesn't fit. It's illogical. And so we need to find a different approach. And I think that there are different approaches. We can certainly be reading partners and support local public schools, get involved in the state plans that are being submitted because of the Every Student Succeeds Act that was passed at the end of 2015. Now states are working out their plan and fleshing those out so we can be a voice for our community saying this is what we're seeing in local Bible studies and at churches,
exactly.
in churches, and this is the feedback that we're giving. So for us to be absent from that conversation is not going to be helpful, and I think it's not what we're called to do. So if we're really loving our neighbor as ourselves, we can't just be thinking about the children in our own home. We have to be mindful of the children in our full communities, and in this case, in our nation.
Exactly. Well, we're called to be change agents. And when you look back historically, on Christian influence on the, you know, the founding of this country, so to speak. Let's just start off with that. All the way through the history of this great country of ours, you see time and again at the vanguard of the change, there has been people of faith. And that is so important. And I know it's difficult, no question about it. And it's been very hurtful. The secular community has overrun our culture. They've told Christians, look, we don't want your Jesus stuff here. Get it out. The things that they've embraced, you know, confusing genders, the curriculum, everything. You just go on down the line. It's as if the educational system, the public educational system, is in a death spiral. And interestingly enough, last year, when Gallup took a poll, one of the things that came out loud and clear that I read was the secular society was saying, where are the Christians? Where are the voices of Christianity? I go, well, you told them to shut up. You didn't even kick them in the back of the bus. You kicked them off the bus altogether. And now that it's running into the ditch all the time, you're asking, where are they? You know, and so part of it is on that side. The other part, like you say, Andrea, is it is the responsibility of people of faith to appreciate with grace what they've been given and to go and be the change agents they have been called to do. God said, be fruitful and multiply. He would not have told us to do that if you know, that was a most intentional directive, one that was backed by the God who created us, the God who fulfills promises. So he wouldn't have told us to do that if he didn't mean it.
Yeah, and I do think that this pattern of deeming one option or one schooling option as godlier as another is tempting. But I see that happening, that trend gained some traction where, well, even at dinner tables across America, you start to see this pride creep in. And I think we have to be cautious of that because it does stand to distract us and to divide us from what our true call is. And that's to be about the Lamb's agenda and really sharing the love of Christ with those that we encounter with, and how we handle when people kick us off the bus, I think speaks loudly to those who are doing the kicking.
Yes.
And so I think when we retreat and don't stand firm in the times when we need to stand firm, or where we completely check out, that there's a danger to that.
Without a doubt.
There is certainly, and you know, ACT annual report for college readiness in 2015 showed us, it indicated that 1 out of 4 Hispanic students, 1 out of 10 African American students are not graduating high school college ready. And that is the birth of the Faith and Education Coalition at the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, is that we want to ensure that we are honoring the Imago Dei. We recognize that the Lord created us in his image, each child in America.
Exactly.
And so we want to ensure that every child has access to a high quality education, regardless of their zip code, income, or race. So this narrative that says that we're moving to a certain side of town to get to the good schools is something that needs to end. And not every person has that ability to have financially or even with transportation issues. When you've got a mom or a dad that's working more than one job and cannot get their child to where they need to be, I think vouchers are a valid plan, but there's a lot of complications there. And so I would just invite Christians to really pray over every decision and to not allow abandoning Christian schools altogether.
Exactly. Well, Andrea, we're out of time, but thank you so much for the insight. Good stuff here. Dr. Andrea Ramirez on Bill Martinez Live.
If you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to cover your ears, because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it could be better than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to cover your ears now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt, too. You can resolve your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now, 1-800-660-1297. That's 1-800-660-1297. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now, 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297.
Being self-reliant.